Let them plan it. And when they do plan it, this is not a time to give your next 50 lectures. This is not what this day is about. If you turn this into a disciplinarian lecture, the odds of them wanting to go with you again are slim to none, and you ruin strengthening the foundation, which will work those things out.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields. 18 Summers Tribe, we're here today with just Jim and I.
Just the two of us.
And I wanted to go over our book, The Family Board Meeting. I want to interview you on the three steps to connection because although we talk a lot about on our podcast about these steps and these principles and we interview others on it, but we've never done a podcast on it. So
it's kind of crazy when you think about it.
No, that's why I was like, okay, what's so simple? It's like stupid that we've not done something with it. And I think our three steps, and I think the holidays are the perfect time to pull out some of those guiding principles that we have, like date night, which we recently did a podcast on. And I think, our board meeting strategy is imperative for those entering into the holiday season, looking for how do I go deeper with my family this holiday season? What's a good way to get on level and on point? And I just think you have some wisdom in that area because it was this time of year that board meetings started. They started as gym date. So do you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So instant family, we came together. Boys and I hit us off famously right away, but they had some trust issues, rightfully so, from, things they had been through, things you had been through. And I was like, gosh, we're getting along so well, building the real estate businesses. I don't want to lose focus on this. They're very close with you. How do I make sure I step in a positive way? And so we just are sitting there chatting. I said, let's make quality time coupons.
Yes.
I made quality time coupons, called them gym days, because at that time, that's a whole other story. I never insisted that the boys who I adopted, 7 and 5, they call me dad. I think I have a whole story I could do on that, but I never made them call me dad. So don't call me whatever you want. I'll love you just the same. So it was their decision to call me dad. And there's lots of reasons I can tell you that for any of you going through that. But anyway, that was a big deal. So we said quality time coupons with Jim and gave them to him at Christmas. And they said, well, what are these? And I said, you're going to cash one of these in every quarter. And they're like, what's a quarter? Every 90 days, every couple months, you're going to be able to cash this in for a gym day. And these are quality time coupons. So we're going to do something just the two of us. My phone is not coming and you guys are going to plan the whole day. Wait, we plan the whole day? I said, yep. Whatever you guys do, you're going to plan it and I'm going all in. Wow. Okay. So we started cashing on these quality time coupons. These now what are known as internationally as board meetings. Mm-hmm. And man, they created some magic. Our teenage 19 and 17 now. So we're talking 11 years in. Holy cow, 12 years of doing these. They'll Not still say live. these days are, I just did one with Leland this weekend, 17. He's like, I really enjoyed that. Thank you.
Yeah. And we can always tell when they need one.
Yeah.
Get a little.
It's a regrounding and recharging to our relationship. And that's how
nice
it started.
To say it.
Yeah. And then there's really the best part about this is, there's only 3 guideposts to this, 3 principles that I think you can roll into not only relationship with your children, but I know with wife here and other relationships. So yeah, we could talk about those. I know we want to keep this one short and sweet, but we can give a refresher on those 3 principles if you want.
Exactly. So what's the first principle?
One-to-one. The one-to-one principle is it's such a shame that's overlooked. It'd almost be like, you're sick and you need vitamin C and the doctor never tells you need vitamin C. Like one-on-one time, you got to separate the parts to strengthen the whole. And really, I don't hear a lot of people talk about it. And it did wonders for the relationship I had with my own father, especially the last 10 years of his life, getting to spend one-on-one time with him, with each of my boys, with you. Mm-hmm. One-on-one time.
And I started having sister coffee with my sister recently. And even that, so it's interesting how the principle, like you're saying, one-on-one, all of these principles can really translate to any relationship.
And the dynamic changes. If I was there at coffee with your sister, I'm going to be plucking her and punching her in the arm because she's my little sister.
Exactly.
And telling bad jokes. And it changes it. And those are fun, but you guys need your time to you, just like you and I need our time. But one-on-one time especially for you busy parents out there, probably a father, could be either, that isn't with the kids as much. You lean on your spouse who has the better relationship. And this takes away that crutch. You got to open up. You got to be there one-on-one. So yeah, principle number one is one-on-one. If you hear nothing else today, just remember that. You got to separate the parts to strengthen the whole. Schedule one-on-one time with people you really care about.
Awesome. Now, in setting, maybe that's a question I'll get to in a minute. Like, how do you initiate communicating that you want to set up this one-on-one time with people or with your children? Like, we can.
I'm just brutally honest. Well, I mean, it was pretty easy for me with the boys. I mean, they were 7 and 5, so they were excited. For other people who are starting in their teens, you have to go in very vulnerable and without ulterior motive. And so what I've encouraged, I know a lot of people have said, is look, you know, things change. You know, you're not going to be here forever. We get 18 summers with you, and then you start adulthood, and time is going to be even more limited. I just want to enjoy the time we have together. So I'd love to get together, just the two of us, for a day. No strings attached, and just enjoy each other. And they might think something's up, especially teens, if you haven't been around or you've been a little strained. But these next two steps that I'm going to talk about will help lower that guard once you get them on there.
Perfect. And then what's the second principle is tech fasting, right? That's another
intermittent tech fasting.
Trademarked.
So I know we have a lot of health people out there. You know, Jamie and I have been looking into intermittent fasting, practicing it. You know, you're not giving up eating, but you're disciplined between eating and this time and this time. You know, it's very rhythmic of when you do it. I've learned the same thing about technology. This is probably the one that I've struggled with the most, being an ADD entrepreneur. We create our own laws. Like, look, an alcoholic formed Alcoholics Anonymous, right? Because he needed it the most. You know, this is one that I struggled with, you know, being that always on the go, always needing to do something, that ADD, where I would be on something. And that's very disrespectful, and also avoiding depth with the people you love the most. So I needed to start doing some tech fasting. The computer's not with me. My phone's off. It changes the attention span. And, you know, we all want our kids to open up to us instead of their friends or the internet. If you're taking that last call, text, Facebook thread, they don't really feel comfortable doing that. They don't really feel like you're present. It's also insulting. I mean, I think it dates for Jamie and I when I used to open my phone. It's not invited anymore. And the world is not going to explode if your phone's off for 4 or 5 hours with your child or your spouse or someone you love. And believe me, not getting distracted by something down there is going to bring almost a slowing down effect of the person you're sitting there talking with. It's very strange. People out there have done it now know, but intermittent tech fasting, you know, while you're on this one-on-one time, is just magic. Now, I leave my phone on, like when I was with Leland last week, I took a few pictures on airplane mode, but other than that, I wasn't getting any texts, I wasn't getting any calls, I didn't care what was happening on social media, it was just the two of us. So you want to start doing some intermittent tech fasting for these magic moments.
Good one. And then we do intermittent tech fasting other times of day as well, or, you know, so you can implement it into other areas of your life. Again, all of our principles can be shared over other relationships, just like, you know, we don't take a date night, we don't take a phone to the dinner table, we don't take a phone into our bedroom, such as that. So we have other periods of time of unavailability.
Good point.
Yeah. So, and the third principle is one-on-one. No.
One-on-one without electronics, which is intermittent tech fasting. And then we call it fun activity with focused reflection. And this is basically the shortest definition of experiential education there is. We're really into alternative education. You know, I think that the learning systems out there are very ineffective for a lot of kids. And I want to be able to teach stronger relationships and certain values to my kids during these days together. And experiential education does that. It's just enjoying the day and then talking about what you enjoyed and leaving space for that decompression period, you know, because you've gone on this day together, you spent this time, you've probably broke bread. Now is the time you can have deeper conversation. Now is the time that you can offer that apology that you've been holding back and you know you should have made, but you haven't. Or you give that sincere compliment that you thought you said, but you've been really shy to do. And a lot of our A personality entrepreneurs out there, they can be shy on giving those. I don't know why we do, but we got to become better at that. Apologies and sincere compliments. And what I found is when you let your child plan the day, man, you start to uncover their gifts, their talents, what they want to do. They feel more honored. They feel more heard, which for families we've worked with, that's what kids say. I don't feel heard. I don't feel heard.
And then so many parents say they don't feel appreciated. So it's just such a cycle of, well, I'm not listened to. Well, I'm not appreciated.
What's the old fire thing? Like, I'll give you more. I'll make you warm and you give me more fire. I don't remember the exact example.
Not very good.
I'm butchering this, but.
You butcher most things.
Most of our listeners know. Oh, Jim's
every time you say a vocabulary word, I have to Google it. I'm like, that is not correct. That is not how you use that word.
It's like the wood is sitting there and saying.
No, can you stop?
Give me heat. Well, I'll give you heat once you give me fire or something. I don't know. Something like that. But everyone gets the point. So
nobody gets the point. That's the problem. Nobody gets the point.
I get it, right? I get it.
Okay. So what if your child wants to go fishing and you don't care about fishing?
Well, I think the old saying is I don't love fishing that much, but I love.
Trying another saying.
No, I'm not. This one makes sense. I said, I don't love fishing that much, but I love my son that much. That makes sense.
It came together.
So it's not about you. I've had quite a few princess parties with Maggie and do other things that weren't really on top of my list.
She once got you to get a goldfish manicure in Mexico, and she refused to do it at the end. That was awesome.
I forgot. That is a nasty feeling with the fish eating your flesh off your feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she backed out.
She did.
We have a video of
that. She had a fun time laughing at you doing it. So yes. My point is that what matters is whatever matters to them.
Well, and that's the problem. A lot of times we're like, well, let's sign them up for something we think they'll like.
Or that we like.
Or that we like and drag them along and then give ourselves all this street cred for bonding. Mm-hmm. And that's not really true. Let them plan it. So, and when they do plan it, I want to remind this is something that's huge. This is not a time to give your next 50 lectures. I know we talk about this. Like, oh, well, they're in trouble with this. They're not performing up to school in this. I get it. This is not what this day is about. If you turn this into a disciplinarian lecture of 5 subjects they need to improve their life, the odds of them wanting to go with you again are slim to none. And you ruin, strengthening the foundation, which will really work those things out.
And same goes for date night. Like, date night's not a time in which, like, to ask me if I cleaned my van or to even comment on my, and we don't even own a van, but do you know what I mean? Like, it's not the time for spouses to climb in each other's car and be like, this place is disgusting. Or
did you do this? Like, it's not a checklist.
Did you do the honey-do list or what's on the list for this upcoming week? Like, that's just not the place.
Not an admin
meeting. One-on-one time. Like this, the intentional deepening time is not for.
But that's why we try to have deeper conversation. Like, hey, where are the 3 places we really want to travel over the next 12 months? Mm-hmm. If nothing else could happen, just these 3 places. What would?
Yeah, good example.
Hey, where are things that what's a financial decision we made over the last year that we're really happy with? What's one we're not? Mm-hmm. These are deeper level things that I think bring you closer together, not disciplinarian lectures or admin stuff.
Totally. And then, just getting in their head, like asking deeper big kid questions. A lot of people ask us, about what are some good lead-in questions for big kids, because younger children are easier to talk to. You can be, what are you wishing for the holiday? Who do you want to see for over the holidays? Or what would you like to do while so often teenagers are like, mm-hmm. I don't know. And it's so much harder. And so I'm going to try to find this list that I have of big kid questions, because I think that's really important. And two, we have date night cards that you could use, but some of those, those are for date night. So some big kid questions are, you could ask them, what does your perfect day or week look like? Mm-hmm. So that's a good one to kind of get into their head. What takes up most of your time nowadays? No, it's a good one too. And that helps you understand what's important in their life.
What are you excited about? What are you worried about?
That's good. What are you excited about? What are you worried about? What is on your mind most lately? We had a conversation with one of our teens this week. Being kind of, like
grumpy.
It seemed like he was on himself. You know what I mean? He was jerky. He was inconsiderate. He was not home much. And when we got down to it, his mind was consumed, and it was anxiety for showing up. And it was so interesting that he had so much anxiety about how he was showing up and he wasn't
showing
up.
Because he's doing a lot of good things.
He's doing so many good things.
He's not like in trouble
right now. No, not at all.
That's where it was. He was like more, I think he was pushing himself to overachieve in a few things, and we're like, whoa, buddy.
Yeah. So it's just good to know, like, what is consuming your mind? Because once we could have that conversation with him, we were able to help dissect it and get him further down the road. Oh, asking, is there anything I can help you with? I mean, that's huge. That's, I know, it's like my favorite words to hear on transition days. You know, for me personally, transition days are stressful for me. And I call transition days are like holidays when we're hosting everyone, or if we're traveling, whether we're leaving one house or entering another, however that may look like. Transition days are difficult for me and I tend to get really stressed. My favorite thing is when people say, I say people, there's like two people in this house that ask me, but when somebody says, how can I help? It's like, oh, that's such a decompressor for some people to know, to just be asked, how can you help them? So asking the big kids how you can be helped. And then the other two ways that are great for that focused reflection part. So the third step in our three steps to connection is fun activity with focused reflection. So usually after the fun activity, there's a meal, there's a coming down, there's some time together. And so all of these are questions that you could ask one or two of them, right? If you don't have something that naturally comes up, like what was the best part of the day for you? Yeah. And then also two tools that I know have taught our audience about before, but is the sincere apology and the genuine compliment. So those always go really, really far. Think about, is there something that you could use this time to apologize to your child about, whether it was an interaction that you jumped to conclusion too quickly, or a moment in which you didn't give enough acknowledgement? Is there something that you've noticed them doing exceptionally well that maybe they struggled with in the past? Can you acknowledge them during this time? So such as that. Anything else that...
I think that's a good starting point.
So wrap us up. Three steps.
One-on-one. Intermittent tech fasting. Fun activity with focused reflection, which just means do something fun, go all in, have some conversation at the end. Usually a great chance to give an apology that's been overdue or give a compliment that's been waiting to be heard.
Yes. And then you recommend this once.
Once a quarter.
Once a quarter.
And I do date night with Jamie every week. And then we do an overnight at least once a quarter. So date nights weekly. And then a day with each of my kids is once a quarter. Which might be like, oh, that's not enough. It does wonders to the relationship. And time moves fast, especially when you got five kids. And heck, I never got a day a quarter with my dad ever. Not 1 year of my life. I would have loved that. So hopefully I'm giving that gift to my kids that, you know, I didn't get. So we can do differently.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully this helps inspire and create some new traditions and islands of consistency in your life this season. Thanks. Yep.
Talk soon, guys.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.